Just a reminder, today's conference is being recorded.
Okay, we're all set.
Okay, at this time, I'd like to introduce the webinar. To better understand suicide and suicide data sources, the Illinois Suicide Prevention Alliance, through Mental Health America and the Illinois Department of Health, are creating a resource that explains various data sets that collect information on suicide. The fatal sources of data will include information from health statistics, child death review, and the violent death reporting system. The non-fatal sources of data will include information from hospital discharge, trauma registry, emergency medical assistance, youth risk behavior, behavioral risk factor survey, criminal justice, crash data, railway systems, and hotline data. The webinar will present an overview of these suicide and suicide attempt data, focus on some of the unique aspects of several of these data sources, and discuss some recommendations for improving and linking data sources to increase prevention efforts in the state. These recommendations may be useful to others who are other states who are focusing on suicide and suicide surveillance prevention efforts in their state. So, at this point, I'll turn the floor over to my colleague, Monique Shepherd. During this call, we will be sort of moving back and forth from the podium as we sort of discuss the topic.
Thank you, Dexter. As Dexter said, both he and I work with the Pacific Institute for Research and Evaluation. And in that capacity, I am the director of the Children's Safety Network Economics and Data Analysis Resource Center. And Dex and I work together on CSN. We were contacted by the state of Illinois to look at a review of their suicide and suicide attempt data sources to make insights and recommendations. The objectives that we hope to accomplish today are to just start with a bit of a background to review national and Illinois suicide data. As we review data that is easily accessible by everyone, we hope to, when we start to actually talk about the different data sources, to pinpoint an information, additional information that can be achieved from these varying data sources. Then we want to look at using the data to focus in on prevention within the Illinois community, as our example today, but you can apply this information to whatever state or region that you're from. In particular, we're going to focus in on triangulating data. And then we want to follow up and end with recommendations to improve the data sources specific to the state of Illinois. All right. To make sure as we go through this presentation, we are all on the same page, we would like to discuss some definitions. A suicide is a death that results from a self-inflicted injury in which there is evidence that the person intended to kill him or herself. So these are deaths. Suicide attempts are not deaths. They're potentially self-injurious behavior with non-fatal outcomes. In these types of behavior, we know that the injury was self-inflicted, and two, there was intention to kill oneself. However, suicide attempts don't have to actually result in an actual injury. And so the majority of all the data that we will discuss today is actually referring to self-inflicted injuries. Please note that this term is not synonymous with suicide, but in fact shows people who are actually trying to injure themselves but may or may not have a desire to die. And one of the things that we'll be discussing today are the limitations of different data sets. And so, as you can imagine, without collaborating information such as a suicide note or a firsthand account, we can only determine from the data that we collect that the person tried to injure themselves. We may not be able to determine that it was the person's desire to die. So Throughout the slides, you'll see some various terms, but please remember that all of the data is self-inflicted injury, self-inflicted suicide and suicide attempts. So again, we wanted to start out with some information about the state of Illinois to just set the stage. And so mortality data in the state, we'll look at that first. And we'll just compare that against the nation to get a framework of where we are. In the state of Illinois, suicide is the 12th ranking cause of death overall, whereas it's 11th in the nation. On average, approximately more than 1,000 people die a year of suicide. That's approximately 3 a day. And that's 3% of what actually occurs in the entire United States. The rate of suicide in Illinois is 9.1 per 100,000 population, which is less than the 11.6 rate in the nation. Looking at hospitalized self-inflicted attempts, comparing Illinois to the U.S., we can see that there are a total of over 6,000 suicide attempts per year compared to the almost 175,000 in the U.S. It should be noted that, again, this is about 3% of what's going on overall in the U.S. within the state of Illinois. The overall hospitalized attempt rate is 50.9 per 100,000, which is lower than the U.S. rate. We can examine suicide by different age groups. Pictured here is a map of suicide for ages 15 to 19. We chose the age group 15 to 19 because this age group has the highest suicide attempt or hospitalized self-inflicted attempt rate, although it doesn't have the highest suicide rate. That's actually for adults 70 years and older in both the U.S. and in Illinois. But pictured here, you're able to see that in Illinois, as with all the different age groups, the rate of suicide in Illinois is less than the rate for the U.S. overall. And what you can see from the slide here is that the green indicates that you're below the U.S. rate. And that occurs in this age group as well as all the other age groups in Illinois, just to give you a feel for what's going on in the state. Similarly, when we look at race ethnicity data, we can see that Illinois follows the same pattern as the U.S., which is shown by the white bars, Illinois shown in the blue, with lower rates. In Illinois, as in the U.S., the highest suicide rates can be seen in the white non-Hispanic group, but followed by other non-Hispanics. Looking at suicide methods, the first column being the U.S., the second column being Illinois, we see that the top three mechanisms for suicide are the same in Illinois and the U.S. The last bullet on each of the columns is where the top rates are firearm, followed by suffocation, which is higher in Illinois than the U.S., followed by poisoning. Because we're looking at data, it's important to note that there are missing aspects of data. One of the missing aspects that occurs with suicide data has to do with undetermined intent poisoning. These are cases where suicide has not been determined as the cause of death. It is unknown or undetermined what the true cause of death is. But what we have discovered in looking at these cases is that they follow a very similar pattern to actual poisoning suicide. So if half of the undetermined intent poisoning in Illinois, second column, last bullet, were determined to be self-inflicted, perhaps through some triangulation of data, merging data sets together, which we'll talk about later, the overall number of suicides in the state would increase by 2%. And in the first column, you can see in the U.S., it would increase by 5% if you made that same analysis. Thusly, for hospitalized attempts, we see that, again, Illinois, second column, follows the U.S. first column with the top causes for its methods, poisoning followed by cut piercing. And again, Because we know that there is a problem with undetermined intent poisoning, if we set half of those, since they follow the same pattern as hospitalized intent poisonings, were in fact suicide attempts, that would raise the Illinois suicide rate 8%, whereas in the U.S. it'd be 9%. Thusly, if we look at costs in the state compared to the U.S., you can see what the average medical costs and average work loss costs are for fatal and non-fatal suicide. But overall, in Illinois, the medical cost of suicide is $4.5 million annually, and the non-fatal cost of self-inflicted hospitalized attempts and suicide is $53.5 million annually. And so we can see that, and in the U.S., of course, the costs are much, much greater because of the volume, but you can compare the rates more easily by looking at the average cost per case. The U.S. rates are only higher than Illinois when looking at the non-fatal average medical cost. Otherwise, the Illinois cost per case is higher than in the U.S. So just suicide is a big problem in Illinois, and by looking at the data set, as Dex said in the beginning of the presentation, we're hoping to be able to get a grasp of what data is being collected, how to access the data, and if there are gaps or recommendations that we can make to move the problem of suicide prevention forward in the state. Although we were not able to pull some state-specific data from Illinois to compare to the U.S. on risk factors and psychological consequences, as we move through the data sets, we wanted to be sure that everyone understood that the data sets can help us draw information on these important factors to suicide, that suicide is often associated with alcohol and drug abuse, and that suicide can be the result of depression, antisocial behavior, anxiety, low self-esteem, fear of intimacy, and suicidal behavior. And by understanding these elements and being able to pull them from some of the data sets that we'll be looking at, we'll be able to get a better picture of suicide, not only in Illinois, but in other states, as well as draw more conclusions about effective prevention. So what are the data? We want to make sure that we all agree the data are factual measurements or statistics. And self-inflicted data, regardless of their data source, collect different pieces of information. The example presented here is suicide ideation versus depression, or it could be suicide ideation versus suicide gestures. The data source will actually collect different information, and so even though for those terms they're different, it'll be very important to not only look at similar terms in some of the data sets, to see if the actual data collected is the same or different. One example we'll get to is when we'll look at the poisoning data system in Illinois. Some of the same terms used have different definitions. Other issues we're hoping to be able to draw attention to will be to look at alcohol and drug incidents to be able to point out data sets that show the difference between genders, whereas completed suicides are more common in males, where attempted self-inflicted injuries are more common in females, as well as data sets that help us get at the severity of the suicide, a fatal suicide versus a non-fatal suicide. A non-fatal suicide can result in a hospitalization, can result in a trip to the emergency room, can result to an admission to a psychiatric hospital. And so the severity of the data will depend on the data set that's actually being examined. So as we begin to look at the data, we want to focus on what's in it. And as you can see from this illustration, everything might be in the data. So we're hoping to tease out what can be useful, not only to the state of Illinois, but to other viewers to today's call about how to best use their data for prevention. Just to quickly review, the state provided us with data managers for 23 different data systems within the state. We conducted phone interviews with each of these data managers. However, no actual data analysis was involved. So the data managers who oversaw the various data systems, they do collect data, they do have data that can be accessed. We'll go over whether it can be publicly accessed or whether it's by request or whether you have to go through a special committee. But those data can be accessed by the Illinois Suicide Prevention Alliance so that they can add that information to their report. But the purpose here today is to present what we learned from the data managers in today's webinar, as well as in a report that will be released to the state next month. The interview questions that each of the 23 data managers covered were, where was the agency that they were from and follow-up contact information. They gave a description of their database, including how the data were collected, are the data statewide, can you do county analysis. This was of particular interest because in Illinois there is Cook County, where the city of Chicago resides, and several queries have come before the Suicide Prevention Alliance to look at things in their largest metropolitan area, Chicago. So we wanted to make sure we knew if the data could be separated by county, and if by county, if separate analysis could be pulled out for Chicago. We got the year that the data started being collected, its current availability, as well as relevant suicide-related variables. Are annual reports produced? Can the public access them? Are they available on the web? Can the public do web-based queries? That was information we collected. As well as asking the relevant data managers, did they feel that there was any information in particular that would help the Suicide Prevention Alliance? So we're going to go through the actual data managers that we talked with one by one at this point. The purpose of this slide is just so you can see that we broke them up in terms of fatal data and non-fatal data. And the non-fatal data that we were able to collect from state agencies and those that we were able to do interviews with non-state agencies. Within the non-fatal data, we're going to go through surveillance systems and then survey data systems and then end with some non-fatal data systems that, although they're a surveillance system, their primary purpose is definitely not geared to collecting information on suicide or suicide attempts, but we will share with you what relevant pieces of data do collect. So, with fatality data, Dex will share with you.
Capture the sort of fatality data, we spoke with Mark Floto of the Illinois Department of Public Health at the Illinois Center for Health Statistics. And there, along with many other data sets, he sort of manages access to mortality data. And mortality data has data based on death certificates that are statewide and also can be described at the county level. They have data from 2006 and prior available. And the key variables in these data are the cause of death by E-code. And in addition to that sort of description of the sort of intent and mechanism, they have detailed demographic information. These data can be accessed through annual reports where the most recent report is 2003. And the raw data can be accessed through a memorandum of agreement with the agency. In order to get that for the memorandum of agreement, one would have to go through the data research and release committee. And generally, what they prefer is that the research is consistent with the mission of the Department of Public Health. And also, one might be interested in going further than the raw data. The raw data is sort of an extraction from the death certificate, and it's only based on the key variables. So a researcher, particularly are concerned with suicides, might want to see more detailed data, more narrative data, and then that would also involve an agreement with the agency to get access to those data. Okay, another system of table data available in Illinois is the Illinois Violent Death Reporting System. All right. To better understand these data, we spoke with Karen Monahan of the Children's Memorial Research Center. Now, at this point, the Illinois Violent Death Reporting System is not part of the National Violent Death Reporting System, but they are seeking funding from the CDC in order to join that national system and to expand. They are, at least Illinois, is one of the few states, so there are about five or so that are approved by the National Violent Death Reporting System, but are not sort of funded by or not actually part of the Violent Death Reporting System. The data there are generally captures descriptions in Cook County, Kane County, and Peoria. And the data they have available are from 2005 through 2006, and it follows closely the National Violent Death Reporting System format in anticipation of joining that system, I'm sure. And what is, of course, the National Violent Death Reporting System is a survey of all types of violent death, including homicide, but the characteristics of the data, it captures suicide data, and the characteristics of those data are very useful. Some of the variables included are the circumstances of the incident, the date and location of the incident, the weapon type that was used in the incident, some demographic characteristics, and a bit more. What you would get in this violent death reporting system compared to the mortality data is a more detailed, sort of a richer description of the incident, and also in a data format where you can look at these details in aggregate. You can access these data, or at least descriptions of these data in the newsletter, basically an annual newsletter created by the Illinois Violent Death Reporting System. And if you go to their website, you'll see they have a good description of youth suicide in their July 2008 newsletter, and homicide and suicide in their May 2009 newsletter. They will run data based on requests, but they don't have any sort of public use data that they can share.
Next, we'd like to talk about the data manager that we met with, the Child Death Review System, Sherry Barr from the Illinois Department of Children and Family Services. Sherry was able to talk to us about the Child Death Review Team data that the state collects. What we learned from Sherry is that every county within the state is mandated to send in child death certificates. So the ages of these death certificates would be 0 to 17 years. And that is what they make their data system off of. It is based on the information in those death certificates. However, counties within the state do not always send in their death certificates to the Child Welfare Department. So the number of deaths that they record is less than the overall number of deaths to children in the state each year. In addition, the Child Death Review Teams actually analyze data from the deaths that occurred to children who were involved in child welfare 1 year prior to their death. And so currently data is available from the system through 2007. They put out an annual report every year, the 2006 report, I believe you can access on the web, but the 2007 report is not available via the web yet. But by working with Sherry, you could get some specialized suicide run. The information that this data set contains would be very similar to the data variables that Dex mentioned earlier when he was discussing the mortality database, because they're based off a death certificate. But the unique piece of information that the child death review team data contains is what happens from the actual reviews of children who were involved in the child welfare system. So you can get more information on the circumstances leading to the incident, more details about the date and location, the method of suicide. Well, it's for all deaths, so it's whatever the method is. And also, you may get additional demographic information. Within the data system that the Department of Children and Family Services keeps, of all of their cases, and looking at the 2006, only 1% of their cases from the death certificates they receive, as well as those death certificates that are followed up by review, actually deal with suicide. So the majority of the cases that this data set receives are for other causes of death. However, on that small 1% and overall in the death certificate data, it was 24 cases, I believe, in 2006 and 2 from the actual child death review team data. They can be looked at to get some anecdotal stories about the circumstances leading to the death and the incident. So although this is not a data system that focuses in or has the caseload to focus in on what's going on in child suicide, they do every year, they'll have a couple of cases that could, you know, provide some anecdotal background, and also in terms of dealing with cluster suicides or something like that, that might be relevant as well. It's also important to note that the child death review team can also analyze other cases. So by mandate, they do those that have been within the child welfare system, but they can also do additional cases if it comes to the attention of the team. So there's another area where some additional information could be sought to look at suicide and suicide prevention, because the child death review team, upon getting the data, then looks to prevention methods to help prevent those deaths from occurring in the future. So now we're going to move on to non-fatal data sources, and we're going to start with the state agency data. The hospital discharge data, and in the beginning of the presentation when we were comparing Illinois with the U.S., we were showing information that can be gathered from the state hospital discharge data system. But Rich Forshey from the Department of Public Health worked with us to help us understand this data system. The data system is statewide, and the data is current through 2008. It goes beyond. The data is available before 2008, but there are some improved electronic features that come within that last year of data. You can examine data by county. Prior to then, you would use a zip code to triangulate in on the county. And the 2008 data are 88% e-coded, and what that means that of the injuries that have been identified, 88% of them have an external cause of injury code assigned to them. And this is very helpful in earlier in the presentation when we talked about undetermined intent poisonings and being able to establish those. But in addition to undetermined intent poisonings, there are also poisonings that have no intent assigned, whereas Illinois is 88% e-coded, that helps reduce that. The key suicide variables that we'll be interested in are the discharge, whether the patient was transferred, say, for instance, to a psychiatric hospital, the length of stay of the person with a self-inflicted suicide attempt, as well as the attempt mechanism, so as to know whether it was from a poisoning, cut, piercing, etc. The data is available on the web. To get specific data runs, there could be a cost associated with that. There is also emergency department data for the state, which
it's only recently they've begun to compile ED data, so that's something, an initiative that's going forward. So it's that's something that to look forward to, but not at this point. You should focus more on the hospital discharge data.
But you can get some information about emergency room visits if they came through a trauma registry. And Ed Alicia from the Illinois Department of Public Health spoke with us about the trauma registry data system. The state of Illinois has 65 hospitals, which are level one or level two trauma centers. And then data is collected from the emergency room records or from the ambulance run sheet to go into this data system. The data system can be broken down to give you county information, and you can get data back from 2004 and 2008 plus moving forward. Mm-hmm. This is one of the few data systems that will give you information on alcohol and drug information related to the suicide, as well as it gives you information on the nature of the injury. Access to the data is through an annual report, but they do not do any public data requests. There are no public data queries. You have to submit a special request to Adelicia, and she would be able to determine if she can answer your request and get back to you with that information. So this is cases of reportable trauma patients. So for our purposes of looking at suicides and suicide attempts, the case would have to actually progress to a hospital, which was one of the 65 trauma centers. It would have to be determined to be a reportable trauma patient, and then again that ambulance run sheet or the ER record data would be pulled and put into this electronic data system. Emergency medical services data is the next data set that we're going to discuss this afternoon, and we were able to talk with Dan Lee, also from the Illinois Department of Public Health. When looking at the emergency medical service data, that data system is contrived from the ambulance run reports as well. This, for EMS transport, the data system also follows the national EMS surveillance format that is throughout the nation. So many states will have this data system as well.
And that's a new thing. They're updating to that format. Previously, they did not follow that format as closely.
So, yeah. So right now, you can access data up to 2007, but it will update as we move forward. In this data, we can get mechanism but not intent. And that should make perfect sense because the way the data is coming in through the ambulance run, et cetera, you can see that the person is suffering from a self-inflicted injury that was cut, pierced, but the person actually filling out the data report is not in the position to define intent. Based on some of the information in the data record, it may be possible later on to assign intent, but that is not one of the data elements that they actually report in the data system itself.
Okay, so now we're going to move on to the youth risk behavior system. And here, I guess in anticipation, we're moving, even though we didn't create a category, we're moving from hospital or actual medical data to a series of surveys that look at sort of risk behaviors. Now, and first of which will be the YRBS, the youth risk Behavior Surveillance System. And that's a national school-based survey conducted by the CDC. It's sort of a state and sort of local school-based survey conducted often by the Department of Education or by state departments of health, public health agencies. It's reporting on students in grades 9 through 12. It's reported every 2 years, and the data are compiled for the states by the CDC, and those data are weighted to describe the entire state. So it's a sort of a rigorous sampling process that allows them to, based on that small sample of schools, present a representative description of the risk behavior within the state. In Illinois, and in many other states actually, the YRBS is conducted by the state generally and sometimes by urban areas sort of separately. And in Illinois, there's the YRBS conducted sort of a statewide survey along with a specific Chicago survey. So we'll talk about both. For the statewide, we spoke with Glenn Steinhausen, the State Board of Education. And we've already talked about the general characteristics of the database as a school-based survey. Here, I'll skip forward to some of the details. It's a statewide survey, and it does allow for some regional analysis, but there is no availability for county-level analysis with this survey. The most recent year for the YRBS is year 2007. 2009, I believe, is collected and will be available. At least the CDC says it's available in 2010, so those data are coming. In the Illinois, there is weighted data available for 1993, 95, 2005, and 2007. And in some of those off years, there is data available, but the data is not weighted. And this is the trend often where it's a national survey, but every state doesn't participate in every sort of second year. In the YRBS, you get an array of questions related to suicide. And it spans the whole sort of spectrum of behavior, potential behavior, from depression reports to seriously considering suicide or suicide ideation, on to planning, to whether an adolescent attempted suicide, and whether that suicide was medically treated. So it's a broad description of suicidality. And in addition to that, there's a set of other risk behaviors, including alcohol consumption and maybe high-risk sexual behaviors. So one could look at risk behaviors associated with suicide and sort of understand it along the spectrum of behavior. The detailed reports are available through the CDC and also the staff, Glenn's staff, can send out a disk with tables that sort of capture some sort of aggregate description of the data. And the staff will also manage data runs upon request. Now we'll move on to the YRBS Chicago. That survey is managed by Ken Papineau. And again, like the general YRBS, it's done in odd years since 1991 in 22 high schools. And it has the same sort of array of risk of suicide risk-related behaviors. However, they in Chicago do not provide data runs, but the a description of the trends in Chicago can be accessed on the CDC's website, and you would, through their online analysis, you can look at the particular trends in Chicago and cross-tab those various suicide-related behaviors with other items in the survey. Okay. Now, in addition to the YRBS, Illinois has another survey of youth called the Illinois Youth Survey, and that's conducted by the Lighthouse Institute in the Chestnut Health System. And Alan Markwood was the data manager that we spoke with who manages this survey. It's another biennial survey for grades 6, 8, 10, and 12, and they've surveyed 884 schools as of 2008. It's a statewide survey. It's county data are not representative, so it's not like the YRBS where it's a sort of a representative sample where you can make inferences about the state. But it is a statewide survey. And their measures of suicide also are not as rigorous. Their focus is a bit different. They do have measures of past depression, and that measure is presented to all grades. And they have, as of 2008, they have a measure of suicide ideation, and that is that's not presented with the eighth graders. And here they mention that this is a common problem in some of these school-based surveys, where schools are sometimes reluctant to introduce questions about suicidality to students out of fear of the risk associated with asking those questions and fear that they may not have the facilities on hand to manage a student who reports some serious suicidality. So sometimes states are reluctant to introduce those questions, and that's in part explains the progression and the recent addition of suicide ideation. They create reports, biennial reports along with the survey. The data is released based on approval by the state, so there would have to be some sort of data request and approval. And they have in the past had people collect and run studies based on their data. And they will also run data based on requests as well. And that will be facilitated through Alan Markwood. They don't have a sort of a web-based presentation or analysis like the YRBS. Okay. Now, all of the surveys that we spoke about previously focus on youth and adolescents. The Behavioral Risk Factor Survey is a survey that focuses on the population age 18 and older, on adults. It's the world's largest telephone survey, and it tracks health risk behavior in the U.S. It has state estimates available. It's, like the YRBS, it's administered every other year. And it's part of the core survey. The core survey does not include questions related to suicide and suicide attempt. They do have an optional module that monitors that topic, and states have to opt in or out of using that, and some do and some don't. And that whether a state has suicide questions depends upon the politics of the issue, or whether the state chooses any module depends on that. And competition for space is quite an extensive survey as it stands, and sometimes it's difficult to add questions, and people are reticent about making it longer. And there is cost associated with adding questions. So in Illinois, we spoke with Bruce Steiner, who manages the risk behavior survey for the state. And although there are no direct measures of suicidality, they do have some approximate measures that they've presented in the past. They've measured in 2007 serious psychological distress as a measure, and more recently they've measured sort of anxiety and depression. They've included the anxiety and depression module. The data cannot be analyzed by count at a county level. However, there can be runs done by urbanicity, through an urbanicity strata. The 2008 data are available on the CDC website, and there, like with the YRBS, you can conduct cross tabulations of the data. Another surveillance system that is related to suicide is the Pregnancy Risk Assessment Monitoring System, or PRAMS. And we spoke with Teresa Sandage, who is the data manager for PRAMS. And they, in Illinois, used the standard sort of CDC form in their analysis, and they have data available from 1997 to 2006. Those data are statewide, and they cannot be analyzed by county, but Cook County, it's possible to conduct an analysis based on Cook County, but generally throughout the state, that level of analysis is not possible. This survey does not measure directly suicidality, but there are questions that can approximate at least suicide ideation. In 2004 and 2006, through 2006, there were questions added relating to postpartum depression, and also questions about stressors before pregnancy. And in the more recent years, those questions related to depression and anxiety have been expanded. So those data are available. And the access to the data includes annual reports that are that sort of describe the data trends. There's a web-based system called cPonder, where you can conduct sort of specific analysis by variable and by year. It's sort of an online analysis system. That cPonder stands for the CDC's PRAMS Online Data for Epidemiologic Research. So it's a good tool for those who are interested in this survey. And also, Teresa is willing to run data upon request, but those that research would have to be approved by the Data Research and Release Committee.
Next, we want to move to the Illinois Department of Corrections, and we spoke with Wendy Blank. And so in the Illinois Department of Corrections, just to give you an overall feel before we get into the actual data element, they oversee approximately 40,000 inmates per year, and there are 3 to 15 suicides per year since 1997. The database that they have reports the events by facility. It's a written report, and then they do a mortality review, and this review entails a psychiatric autopsy, where a mental health professional completes the autopsy and makes recommendations, and then a larger group reviews these recommendations so that new strategies can be implemented. So the database contains records of all the suicides that occur, but the actual details of the psych autopsy that is conducted don't always make it into the database. The recommendations do, but not the details. So in looking at the data set, you can see that it's all the Department of Corrections throughout the state. They started in 1997. They do not make their data available to the public. They don't do runs for the public, or there's no web-based queries. And attempted self-inflicted injuries are not recorded like completed suicides are. So there's an area where additional information can be collected if the Suicide Prevention Alliance deems that that's the way they want to go to look at those events, because it is there in the system, but it doesn't follow the same parameters or procedures as the completed suicide. So moving on to psychiatric hospitals, we were able to speak with Patricia Reedy, who is the Chief of Social Services in the Division of Mental Health at the Illinois Department of Human Services. And so from her, we were able to learn that the Division of Mental Health oversees 9 inpatient freestanding psychiatric facilities, and it collects data on the people who are hospitalized in one of these state hospitals, and then it includes information from fatal suicides in the state hospitals, as well as for the patients 1 week after discharge if a suicide should occur. So in this way, they're able to see perhaps was a suicide related to their actual admission, and they're able to track that information. It is important to note that there are private psychiatric hospitals in the state. They do not contribute information to this data system, and we did try to get some information about the private psychiatric hospitals, but we were not successful in interviewing anybody from one of the private psychiatric hospitals. So that's another potential area of information that the state can pursue moving into the future.
Okay. We also spoke with staff at the Illinois Commerce Commission, and there we spoke with Chip Pugh and Stephen Laffey, who are railroad safety specialists. And what they have done is created a spreadsheet that compiles suspected railroad or related suicides in Illinois. And although they have data from 1999 forward, the most reliable data are the data since 2002. And the data are statewide and at a county level. And what they include in these data are suspected suicide and suicide attempts. And sort of along with these sort of incident reports, there's demographic data, location data, the date and time. And this is sort of a data that describes a sort of a trend in suicide that is often not well known, because part of what the response to a railway suicide often involves media suppression out of fear of copycatting, or that people would sort of engage in similar behavior. So when they occur, they're often not reported. However, there is sort of room for prevention. Because one of the things that they noted was these suicides sometimes occur in sort of on public sort of metro or railway systems where people are gathering, and that sometimes that in those public places there is video. And what they found is that, anecdotally, is that sometimes the people who commit suicide this way actually sort of visit the site and appear to sort of rehearse or sort of anticipate the behavior. So it presents an opportunity for prevention. And some of that those prevention efforts have been considered. During the call, they mentioned that in California they have an initiative where they post suicide hotline numbers in the station to let people who might be considering suicide by this mechanism present alternatives. And they have to access the data or their tabulation. You should commit a Freedom of Information Act request to Michael Steed, who is the Rail Safety Program Administrator. And also, interestingly, they're working along with the American Association of Suicidology, who's looking at sort of the national trends in this type of behavior. And one other thing is a lot of this effort is this tabulation is their own initiative. And without, there's no sort of direct effort to monitor this type of behavior. And we also spoke with the Illinois Department of Aging. And there we spoke with Mary Mays, who's the state agency representative. And the age population is of course very interesting and important study with reference to suicide, but there's not a lot of surveillance data on that population, targeted toward that population. This data that we're describing here is sort of collected through the community care program that focuses on seniors ages 60 and older. And what they have is sort of in their interaction with seniors, they have a needs assessment form. And sometimes if an expressed need is associated with suicidality, they also present the geriatric depression scale. These data are collected, but they're not tracked, and there's no sort of uniform state assessment based on these data. But the data are available, and they would have to be requested from the care coordination unit to sort of access them in hard copy.
So next we want to briefly talk about crime scene data. We talked with Mike Narish and Mike Trummel of the Illinois State Police Department. And we learned that this database collects information that involve state police. So that means that the crime is a highway crime or it involves an incident that occurred on a state road. So with that said, you might guess there's very limited information on suicide within the data set. And I believe Mike and Mike would agree with us on that. However, when suicide is included in the data set, it would be grouped with crimes against persons because they don't have the ability until the death certificate is completed to actually classify a death as a suicide. And so the data that's in this system dates back before 2004, but it's only electronic since then. Before then it was paper. And information from this data system is made publicly available because they send press releases to the Public Information Office so that they can, you know, release information about crimes that recurred, as well as an annual report that goes to the governor, but not the public. Next, we want to briefly mention the accident crash data. And this data set we were able to share with Mehdi Nasipour, and he's with the Illinois Department of Transportation. This data has several years, but its most recent year of data is 2008. Again, another data set with no suicide variables. Looking nationally, it does occur that someone commits suicide via a motor vehicle crash, but it is a very rare event, and the data set would capture it if it occurred, but it's such a rare event that the data system doesn't really have information beyond crashes and facts associated with crashes. But they do have an online query system where this information could be looked up in the event that people knew about a specific case that was going on. The fire incident reporting system, we were able to talk with the Office of the State Fire Marshal and Joe Woodward. We learned that, again, this is another data system that doesn't have a lot of information on suicide. They follow the National Fire Incident Reporting System, or NFIRS, and the fire departments across the state must capture information and report it into this system. They can only tell if a fire is intentional or unintentional, so for the intentional fires, they can't actually say, was the person trying to commit suicide or were they trying to harm someone else? They're not allowed to say that. But they can do a special study from their data system. So they could pull the information that they gather to learn about suicide. It would be possible. You would have to know the day, city, zip code, and the address. And of course, this wouldn't be something open to the public. Their data is not out there right now, but they will start publishing it and allowing the department to report to look at that data. And, of course, this is another data system that could do a special study to give the Illinois Prevention Suicide Alliance a way to examine if it deems that fire-related suicides are a problem.
Okay, next we're going to talk about not necessarily data systems, but organizations that have sort of compilation of data. First of which is the Health Data Dissemination Initiative. And this is an initiative that's ongoing and developing, and it was an important part of our survey to understand what data is available in Illinois. We spoke with Tom Spriaka, I'm sorry, Tom, and Peter Eckhart. Tom is in the Department of Public Health, and Peter is in the Public Health Institute. And what they're working on is one of the most interesting things and an exciting thing going on in Illinois. They're creating a web-based query system that's a compilation of databases and sort of aggregate descriptions of data. This data will be statewide, generally statewide and at a county level. And it's going to be presented in a series of three releases. The first release, which is due this summer, is basically an update of the old sort of iPlan system, and it will present those type of data. The second release, which will be presented in 2010, will be a compilation of the sort of hospital and mortality data already in the iPlan, and also the risk factor surveys that we mentioned earlier, the BRFSS and the YRBSS, and some hospital data and CRAMS. And then in 2011, the third release, they will include some additional data sets, actual data sets. Some of the previous releases, release one and two, will be a lot of aggregate data. And in each case, the data, the details of the level of data or whether actual data will be presented is subject to the constraints presented by the data managers. But this will eventually become a one-stop shop for these different types of data. They don't have, at this point, among their specific list of indicators, suicide isn't there. But within the data sets, there will be information on suicide. Basically, the series of data sets that we discussed up to this point, going forward in 2010 and 2011, will be presented in one web-based query system through this data dissemination initiative. And through that site, you can drill down and get information on suicide rates, suicide is the leading cause of death, suicide risk factors, and the like. Okay. And we also spoke with Tracy Smith at the Child Health Data Lab. And the Child Health Data Lab is also funded to sort of host a compilation of health data. They have primary focus, of course, it is on the health of children, and they piloted a version of Illinois Health Survey, sort of a small survey that they're working on, that and that sort of is a sort of an ongoing project that at some point should be interesting to look at. Their sort of health survey that will sort of focus, in part, focus on some of the mental health characteristics of children. But a lot of what, at least with reference to suicidality, a lot of what they have is sort of a managers of sort of a several sets of data where researchers can look at mortality data, hospitalization data, and risk data, and then have them sort of share some of those results with people upon request. They don't sort of share the actual data sets, but it's a resource that you can use for people who actually have the data and who you might be able to sort of get data runs across a different spectrum of data sets from that group. So now we're going to move on to our discussion of non-stable data from non-state agencies.
So we'll start out with poison control centers, and we talked with Gail Moran from the Illinois Poison Center. Poison center data is based on call data, people calling into the poison center. But this data system is current, meaning that you can get what came into the system up to 15 minutes ago. They take in approximately 10 to 20,000 calls per year that are self-harm calls. They usually come from hospitals. The hospitals aren't required to call the poison control center, but the emergency room generally will, particularly when they want to examine something about substances. So this data system would be a wonderful way to evaluate what's going on with certain substances, to look at the class of the toxic substance, what were the outcomes from certain substances, because the poison center does do follow-up to see what happened to the cases that came in. It's not 100% follow-up, but they do have follow-ups that could be extrapolated to the rest of the data. Also, case notes within the poison center data system can give some insights onto the circumstances, such as the specialist in poison information taking the call may be able to ask some questions or trigger a conversation that would give you information such as like stressors of the economy, etc. At the beginning of the webinar, we talked about different definitions, and this is one of the data sets that uses terms in some of the other data sets but may have a somewhat different definition. An intentional suspected suicide is a poisoning exposure resulting from the inappropriate use of a substance for destructive reasons. But through the call analysis, how that definition is operationalized and applied to the data could be somewhat different than how a nosologist, say, would apply the E-code to hospital discharge data that would come in for a case. So even though the person calls into the poison center and is referred to the hospital, the data may not match up if they were to be linked to our knowledge they have not been. So again, this is a wonderful resource, even if the data can't be linked, even if the definitions do vary, but you would be able to particularly look at substances, which many of the other data systems lack. The Farm Resource Center data, we were able to talk with Shasta Casper, who's the office manager there. And they respond to the needs of rural families in crisis. And of course, crisis families makes us think of, we can get some information on suicide and suicide attempts, self-inflicted attempts. So they take in the information, they record it down about calls that come in, and then they do some follow-up. You can actually look at this data by county, and they have more than 11 years of data through 2008. And they're ongoing with their collection. So some key suicide variables that they get are scores on the well-being scale, and they track the clients as they follow through, and they also do a childhood survey so they can get special information on the children who are brought to their attention. In order to access this data, you'd have to do a special data request through the director, but they do create an annual report that is you can access through the web, and they do put some data on the web that anyone can go in and look at. Another feature of this data system is you may be able to capture information on veterans, which is a unique variable that many of the other data systems don't have.
Another suicide hotline that we spoke with was with the Illinois Suicide Prevention Services have both a lifeline and a hotline. And there we spoke with Stephanie Weber, the executive director. And similar to the Farm Resources Center, they have it's a, sort of a call-in hotline, and they have limited formal follow-up, but they have their sort of log data, tracked, and they do have a screener that where they collect data organized during the call. The data go back to 2000. They average between 3,500 and 4,000 calls a month. And some of the key variables that they have in their data include measures of depression, ideation, plan, whether suicide is in progression, and the depression screening. These data are all sort of their way of measuring the lethality of the event. They have an annual report, and actually the raw data runs. You should contact Steve Benz in their organization to look at the raw data. There were other, probably many other relevant agencies that we didn't interview, and some that we planned to interview that we didn't reach were the Uniform Crime Report. But based on our conversation with the police and our understanding of uniform crime reporting data, there's not much there in terms of suicide. And then, and also the local Veterans Administration and some of the disability office. These are some of the agencies, a short list of some of the agencies that we could have spoke with, but we didn't.
So yeah, so at this time, Zoe is going to open up the line so that we can take questions from the audience about the different data sets as we round out the presentation. So while Zoe is opening up the phone line so that we can take your questions, I'm just going to talk a little bit, and then she'll let us know when those phone lines are open. So as we said in the beginning, many of the data sets can also clue us in on information for risk and risk factors.
All participants have been unmuted.
Great. So you can begin to ask your questions now. With these risk and protective factors, we're hoping to be able to use the information in the data set to increase prevention. So are there questions about the data sets that we reviewed?
Also, if you can, well, assuming when questions start coming in, you can also, by a show of hands, indicate a question on your computer screen.
Lines have been unmuted, so folks can ask questions, or you can click on the hand on the screen, and Monique and Dex will call on you.
All right, so we do have one hand raised, and you can go ahead and ask your question, the person who just raised their hand.
Good afternoon. I am interested in the emergency department data that you talked about briefly. Can you tell me more how you're getting prospective data from emergency departments?
The emergency department data, as you are correct, it was very, very briefly because the state is just starting to collect that data. So right now there's hospital discharge data available, and then there's the emergency ambulance run system data available. But ER data is something that's going on in the state and will be a great source of data moving into the future. There's another hand raised.
Yes, this is Jackie Rosen. I am looking for data on what happens when you tell children of suicides that had happened in the family previously. I've not been able to find any data as to whether that affects the children and how it affects the children. Does anybody know if that's available?
That hasn't come up in any of the data systems that we talked about, Jackie, but there could be others on the phone who have experienced that, and some of the data systems that might be able to capture that are the ones that design their own surveys, such as the farm resources data to do that.
Thank you. If anybody has that data available, I would appreciate you would contact me.
No. So what we're waiting for you to ask additional questions. Now that we have talked about all of these different data sets and you've pulled them all together, how can you use this data to move forward in your prevention efforts? There's a question. You can go ahead and ask your question.
Hello?
Hello?
Yes. Go ahead.
Yes, this is Michelle from New Jersey. I have a question about the psychological autopsy.
Yes.
Who conducts the psychological autopsy, and what information is in that?
The psychological autopsy, that was when we were talking about the Illinois Department of Corrections.
Right.
And it's a mental health professional who actually collects that data. And they go back through the patient's records as well as the doctor or health professional who was working with the patient. And they try to, you know, pull together, I guess, a history of psychological illness and other things that may have contributed to the suicide. The exact data elements collected could be achieved from contacting Dr. Blank, who oversees that system, Wendy Blank at the Illinois Department of Corrections.
Yeah. Well, after there's a fatality in the department, they have a committee. Sounds not very different from the Child Death Review Committee. And
right.
Then it's through that they conduct a psychological autopsy. It's basically a document based on a sort of a review rather than a particular form, I would think.
Are you aware of any states that at the death scene they collect anything similar to what's collected at the psychological autopsy?
I am not aware of that, no.
Okay. Thank you.
You're welcome. All right. Again, as we wait on questions, I'll do some of the summary, but please feel free to ask your questions. And just starting out, we're going to go over some recommendations we have for education, missing data, electronic data, and the triangulation of data. We have a question.
Yes, this is Jackie Rosen again. What data has been collected on the 35 to 55-year-olds? We seem to be very committed to the teenage data and the elderly data, but I am finding in my work that I am getting more 35 to 55-year-old suicides of husbands right now. And I even presented that to our state of Florida as a group that needs to be researched. Is anybody that's specializing in that area?
Well, Jackie, the fatal data sources, with the exception of Child Death Review, don't discriminate on age. They collect information on all the suicides regardless of age. And the non-fatal surveillance data systems, such as the hospital discharge data, the trauma registry data, the EMS run data, again, that doesn't discriminate via age. It's based on the actual incident. If women are of childbearing years, they would show up in the pregnancy risk assessment monitoring systems data, the behavioral risk factor surveillance system.
Yeah, it depends on your state. Have you looked at the behavioral risk factor survey already in your state?
Yes.
Some states have the suicide module and some don't. It sounds like your state does not.
Yes, but they're not, most states today are not reaching out to that specific age bracket for some reason.
Yeah, I think that was the age bracket for the railway suicides as well, around that age group. Yeah.
That's the age that encompasses the railway, so.
Yeah, I agree. It's a problem in the surveillance. It's a bit of a gap in the surveillance.
But when you look at the data, Jackie, via mortality, for instance, hospitalization, you can focus in on that age group to look at the methods that age group chooses. As Jackie mentioned, in the state of Illinois, a third of fatalities at railways are suicide. So they are actively working to prevent those, and it just happens to be at the age group you're talking about. So nationally, by state, you can access data systems that will allow you to see what are the methods that people in your state are choosing to commit suicide by. And then once you have that, we've talked about, there are specific data systems such as the poison data system that will then allow you to work with them and go in and focus in on substances. And you can, by looking at those substances, you might be able to focus some of your prevention efforts if there's something in particular everyone uses to their suicide attempts.
The thing that I'm running into is hanging constantly.
Yeah,
in the state of Illinois, we didn't come across any specialized data system that focused in on suffocation or hanging. So it would be the more general ones that we discussed.
Thank you.
You're welcome. By looking at these results that we just shared with you, we can see that we can improve awareness through the state by sharing what we learned from the different data systems. And Jackie's question was so timely because it provided a nice example of how if you wanted to focus in, I'm going to pick on your question, Jackie, on suicide among adults 30 to 50, you can then go through these data systems to see where can you get additional data. And that will also lead you to where additional training for professionals is needed to make sure that this data is not only being collected, but the prevention messages that special panels come up with are being used and implemented. Overall, we found that there was a lack of risk factor data, in particular alcohol and substance abuse data. Although there are data systems that do collect this information, it is possible to get this information from other data systems such as the mortality data and the hospital discharge data, but these are not electronic data variables in those systems, for example. Again, the definitions that are used by the system point to inclusion and exclusion criteria so that you may want to focus in on a certain population, but you're not able to. Some of the data systems, such as the Department of Aging, uses paper data. And so moving to a computer-based system would allow individuals to have better access to that data and apply it to the seniors that it's designed to help by looking at seniors who come into the focus of the system and they go out and do that special assessment. If those results could be generalized, then additional prevention programs could be made. And of course, as the Suicide Prevention Alliance in the state moves forward, they may want to help people identify all the different web-based systems that they can look at and examine to pull up information on suicide. So we wanted to focus in a little bit on the triangulation of data, but I think the example that Jackie brought up helped us do that. So we want to see if there's any additional questions.
Where was Cold War Banker? We get this note.
Yes? I can hear someone speaking, but I can't actually hear the question. We want to make sure that everyone understands that by augmenting their data with natural resources, local resources, going with some of the uncommon data systems that we have, that you'll be able to give better information on your state about the suicide problems, and we hope that this has helped you to be able to do that. We want to acknowledge Jennifer Martin and Carol Gall for their assistance with this endeavor. We want to thank greatly the data managers and agencies within the state of Illinois for providing their valuable time to give us this information. We also want to thank the Children's Safety Network for hosting today's webinar.
Great. Well, we'd like to thank you all for coming and hope you gained some helpful information out of this session. And if you have additional questions that you would like to ask the speakers, please feel free to respond to your email invitation for this webinar at zbatista@ebc.org. The PowerPoints for this presentation will be up on the Children's Safety Network website at our website. And the full version of this webinar will be added to the website in weeks. The details for the link for the website are childrensafetynetwork.org/presentation/webinar. Okay. Thank you again. Goodbye.